going to ask you to turn, please, now in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, reading from verse 24. Jesus said that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Please bow with me in a word of prayer. Our loving Father, we have come before the Word of God today. It is open, we have read. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege of having the Scripture. We pray that its light would come into our hearts, that its truth would be marked in our lives. Dear God, forgive us for our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Teach us to go in the right pathway. Keep the way marked clear for us. Do not allow the devil to distract us in going in the wrong way. Help us, Lord, we pray. Bless this word to our hearts this morning. Let it be a word in season to a weary heart. Let no one leave this place misunderstanding, confused, not certain what the word of the Lord states. Dear God, hear our prayer today and be with us, for we ask all this in our Savior's name. Amen. I want to speak to you today from this portion of the Lord's word, from verse 24, really encompassing the main thought and the thrust of the teaching that the Lord Jesus brought to his disciples and to those people who were there. And it's simply this: God's answer to worry. God's answer to worry. There was a song written back in 1988 by a man called Bobby McFerrin, and it was called "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Some of you are nodding. You probably have, if you're dating yourself a little bit too, perhaps, but you remember what that song was. It was an instant success in the day it was released, and it sparked the production of trinkets and ornaments, all bearing that slogan, "Don't worry, just be happy." The gist of it was this: no matter whether the money is gone, doesn't matter whether you have bills that have to be paid and you can't pay them, they're piling up, the stock market has crashed, and you have nothing left, can't pay the rent, can't pay the mortgage, You're in the street. Don't worry. Just be happy, and all things will be well. Somehow, in a dreamy sort of a way, it'll all work out. Well, this is a form of what is called fatalism, which removes responsibility and accountability from the individual. It's not the teaching of the Bible, but rather it is a kind of New Age philosophy. Yet the idea behind the song was to find a release from, well, the crippling effects of worry. This search has been in the heart of man for a long, long time, because even non-Christians can see the pointlessness of worrying about things that are out of our control. And so I ask you this morning, are you a worrier? Sometimes you worry that there will not be enough to worry about. Does it help to worry? Do we feel better after it has all stopped? If it ever does, can worry change the outcome of the situation? Is there a difference between nervous tension and worry? Yes, there is, but sometimes it's a fine line and the scale can be tipped. If a racer is getting ready for the start of his race and he's anticipating moving his vehicle to the starting grid, the engine's started, it's revving, the clutch is engaged, nervously anticipating the drop of the gate or the flag that's dropped, that is nervous tension. Maybe you've been called sometimes to give a word of testimony, to speak, to have a speech someplace, and you're all prepared, but the moment you stand up, it's coming nearer and nearer that you have to speak. The heart rate increases, your palms get a bit sweaty, and the mouth dries up. Well, that's nervous tension. And I will tell you, it is something that affects most people who have any public speaking to do. I know this, that pastors face this very problem. Before each service, my stomach is turned inside out and upside down. Each time before you speak, we have the characteristics of that nervous tension, and yes, it's mixed together with worry as well at times, though it should not be. But the issue of worry is one that just will not go away. And many, many are worried about that. It's part, though, we have to understand, of our fallen nature. You see, Adam, when he was with God, and he was communing with the Lord in the perfection of Eden, when he was with God, he did not concern himself with things that were outside the area of his necessary concern. God had given him everything that he needed, and he was at peace with the Lord, and there was a stillness in his life, and therefore Adam did not worry. It was not until after he sinned. And what was the first thing he worried about? How he was going to appear before God, how God was going to look at him. He was naked, he knew that. He tried to cover himself and he hid from the Lord. He was worried about how he was going to appear in the face of God. You see, it is part of our human, sinful condition now. And ultimately, it's when we do not trust in God's sovereign control in our life. So what are we to do? How do we deal with this problem? Well, we must turn to the Word of God and see the solution that God has given. God's answer to this great problem that affects all of us to some degree or another. First of all, the Lord Jesus tells us that we must put first things first. In verse 33, it's very clearly stated. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord Jesus starts this section of teaching in verse 24 that we have read from, and you will have noticed that the opening words he says are this, quite clear, that no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now let me explain the word mammon to you. It's probably not known by too many. It is actually of Aramaic origin, included in the New Testament. But it's simply a word that means riches or wealth. And in this context, earthly goods. And so here you can see the picture of a man, a woman going through the course of their life, and they are consumed with mammon. They're consumed with the idea of attaining riches or getting wealth or taking care of their everyday and earthly needs. Not a bad thing in itself, really, if it is kept in the right perspective. But outside of that, it becomes something which the Lord clearly says, you cannot submit and serve these things and serve God at the same time. He's drawing a line of distinction very clearly. The Savior says, and he is showing us the natural bent of humanity, it is to grasp on to things, to hold on to things. And this grasping and holding and desiring of things, it's at the very root of the problem with worry. And it's here that the problem, it must be addressed. We must put first things first in our lives. The unsaved person, you might be one of those here today or listening. If you're unsaved today, you're an upside down person. The Lord says, you don't see things the right way. As a matter of fact, everything in this world, from God's perspective of who you are and how you see things, if you're not saved, you are upside down. Well, quite frankly, your eyes are darkened. You cannot see correctly. You do not understand and know the Scriptures. And you read the Bible, if you have or do, and it becomes, in many senses, a dark, dusty, historical book. And it doesn't seem to have much relevance to your heart today. Well, friends, that's the main problem here. You have not come under the power of God's Spirit. You have not been born again by the Spirit of God. And the Lord went on to say, not all things virtually are equal in this life. There are some things that are more important than other things. And he admonishes us all to put first things first and to seek God with all your heart in the first place. And so if you're outside of Christ this morning, that's a priority for you. You have to. You must. It's incumbent. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so if you're going to come into God's presence, if you're ever going to be welcomed by Him, there's something that you have to do first of all, and it's acknowledge that you are a sinner before a holy God, and that without being cleansed from that sin, you will never see God in peace and be welcomed into His presence, but you will stand one day before Him in your sin. And this question the Lord asks, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what are we going to give in exchange for our soul in the great day of accounting, the great day of judgment? Friend, listen to these words. There are things that are more important than other things in this life, and your soul is of greatest importance. It's the greatest thing that you possess. Why? Because it lasts forever. Nothing else that we have will last beyond death. The grave is not the end. Our spirits live forever, either with God or in hell separated from Him. You see, friend, there are some things more important than other things. If you are in a burning house and the rescue workers are pleading with you to flee from that burning house, and it's a matter of your life, and yet you ponder and stop and try to gather a few trinkets. Let's see, I take this and that. Or maybe you're going to think about what clothing you will put on to be rescued. And the madness of that in light of your life is at stake now. You must flee. And if necessary, to flee without any clothing, to get out with your life. There are some things more important than other things. And the Lord tells us to put first things first. His antidote to worrying about life, my friend, you must seek Him. Because when you put God first, unbeliever, when you come to Christ and you acknowledge Him as your Lord, you've confessed your sin, you've received Him as your Savior, when that transpires, then you will be put right side up. Then the light will come on, so to speak. You will see things that you never saw before because you have spiritual insight. It's not magic. It's not something that will come as a lightning strike. No, friend, it is the wisdom, understanding that God gives when a man is brought out of darkness and into light. And it's the most important thing. But Christian, what about us? Have we allowed other things to be put first before the Lord's things in our life? Can a Christian do that? Most definitely we can do that. And so often we do it to our own grief and our own trouble. The Lord is saying to us, Christian, my children, there are some things that I want you to put first in your life, and there are other things that come way down the line that are not to be compared with priorities in life. And the Lord's telling us, here is the solution for life's issues. And the solution is this. Put me in the first place, God says. And then, after that, there's a right way to think. And there's a wrong way to think. Too often we are plagued with wrong thinking, and the Lord needs to correct us, and we need to submit ourselves to His Word and see clearly what He is saying. He is putting forward this direct illustration and instruction for us. When we put God in the right place, other things will come in their right place. I want you to notice something secondly. And the fact is, we have to know our limitations. To know our limitations. We are not supernatural. We cannot do more than we are able to do, and therefore we must operate in the realm of God's given parameters. To know our limitations. There are some things that we cannot do. There are some things we cannot change. And therefore, we must know our biblical limitations. The Lord then, in the body of this portion, in the context, begins to teach His people very practically. He is telling them not to take thought for the things that they are to eat, the things they are to wear. He then shows them that there are grasses that grow, flowers that bloom. There are birds in nature and animals that are being fed and taken care of continually. And He says, my children, you are of more value to me than all things in this natural creation. And the flower in its beauty grows up for a short time, is cut down, thrown into the oven, and is consumed. And Solomon, the mighty king of Israel, in all his beauty, glory, splendor, he was not to be compared with one of those lilies that grows because of its design and beauty and purpose. And so God is showing to us here, we are to note well our own limitations. Through this portion, the Lord starts out in verse 24 by saying, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. The word thought is repeated several times. And the meaning is this. Take no anxious thought for your life. Which person would ever think that the Lord Jesus is teaching here that we are to be completely ambivalent about our food or our clothing? That we are to be completely without thought toward these things? Each one of you have come to the Lord's house today and you've taken time to prepare yourself. You've come dressed appropriately for the house of God, and I encourage that. You've come because you respect the house of God. You've come because you respect God and His place. And we should come appropriately dressed to the house of the Lord because we honor the Lord and we respect one another. And so we have taken thought for how we will dress ourselves. And quite conversely, if you are going into your mechanic shop on Monday, you're not likely to wear the same attire that you came with to the Lord's house. If you're going on the construction site, you are going to wear the hard hat. You are going to have the steel-plated shoes and toe covers. You have to have the right clothing. You are taking thought for the clothing that you're putting on. You are considering those things because they're practical realities. You think about what you eat. Some people are healthier in their choices than others of us are. And you're thinking about how you will plan your diet. Mothers, you do this. You're planning out the week's diet. You're thinking about the grocery list. You're taking those things into account because that's part of our natural responsibility. No one's going to stop and think, well, if the Lord says take no thought for what we will eat, then I'm just going to wait for the grocery store to deliver the groceries to me and that will be all good. That never happens. That's not the right thinking. That's not what the Lord is teaching us here. We have to be creatures of accountability. We are called to be people who know these things that are necessary for us and to fulfill them in our due diligence and proper responsibility. And that's what God has called us to do. And so when He says here, take no thought, He does not want us to be anxious. Because when we are anxious in our thinking about these mundane things, the Lord says, no, you are not to do that. Because you are taking yourself into a realm that is, quite frankly, not your business to be in. You need to leave things in God's hands that are in the Lord's hands. You need to leave things with Him and know your own limitation by faith. Walking in God's presence. You see, friends, the Lord wants us to come to Him with all of our care. He wants us to come to Him with all of our need. He wants us to lay these things before Him. And in so doing, what are we saying? We're demonstrating our dependence upon the Lord. We're saying, I cannot do these things. They're beyond me. Lord, I come for my daily bread, my daily needs. Perhaps one of the problems that we suffer from is an abundance of things in this land of prosperity. It may be that we don't give much thought week to week about the fact of our fridges being full and the shelves being full and the grocery stores being full of food. And perhaps it's not until some crisis when the grocery stores are not full and the shelves are empty. And now people begin to wonder, what am I going to do? But as long as things are going along well, we maybe think that we can take care of ourselves. The Lord wants to remind us we have to realize our limitation in trusting upon Him. He takes it a step further into the realm of what some people might call a bit ridiculous. For he says, you cannot add one cubit to your stature, 1 millimeter, 1 inch, whatever you want to call it. You cannot make yourself grow. Now you can think about that hard, and you can really worry about that. I want to be taller, or if you're too tall, you want to be smaller because you bumped your head too many times. You think, I wish I wasn't quite so tall. Nonetheless, we cannot alter those things that are beyond our control, outside of our grasp, beyond our limitations. And the Lord says, you're not to be thinking about these things because they are within my control. They are under my purpose. And the problem with us is that when we exchange what should be God's purpose for our purposes, we lose focus. We lose control of who is actually in control. And we take from the Lord that which rightly belongs to Him. And therefore, when things don't quite work out the way we think they should by our manipulation or planning or massaging of the problem, then we are filled with frustration, grief, agony, yes, worry, anxiety. And so He's saying to us, it's not the right way, friends. There are first things first that you have to remember. We must know our own limitation before a holy God. But then God gives to us clearly the promise. For we're told also in verse 33, the promise that when we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, all these things will be added unto us. All these things, a promise. When we think about Proverbs 3 and 6, we think of a life verse for many people. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. Been a great verse. I love it. It's a verse that I have taken to my own soul. And so when we are confronted with its truth, I believe what the Lord was bringing out here was really the synopsis of that verse in Proverbs 3. Because here we find a pathway of life. And God is again saying to us, I've given you an intellect, I've given you a mind, I've given you reasoning abilities, but they must be used within the parameters I've given them to you, or else you'll get yourself in trouble. And haven't we all found ourselves in that very place, standing right there in trouble, because we've stepped beyond what we are supposed to, and we have used our intellect and reasoning powers, and we've said, well, if that happened there, then I think this should happen here. And we move forward in that way. And we have reasoned and thought, and conjured. It's turned out to be not good. For we've gone against the Lord's way. But He promises us. And believer, let us take that to our hearts today. The Lord promises us that if we wait upon Him, if we keep first things first and realize our limitations, then we will also be able to rest in this promise and take it home with us, that all these other things will be added unto us. We will have the things we have need of. For God has promised He will take care of us. But friend, I want to say to you today, this applies to believers in Jesus. Those who are outside of Christ cannot take this promise to themselves. No, they cannot. It's only for those who are truly His people, His children. And so, if you are a follower of Him today, then rejoice and give thanks and praise God for every provision He gives you. And the next time you're walking through the grocery store, don't be just in such a hurry to check off your grocery list, but pause and thank God for those packages, that food, those items. Give thanks for His provision for us daily and realize that as we sit down to our meal, yes, to give thanks to God. And let us go away from the idea of making it just we have to sit down and give thanks because it's the thing to do around the table. That's not the right spirit. We are to consider and be truly thankful For what God has provided for that meal is the meal He has for us now. And it's ours. And God provides it for us. And as He provides it, He is able to also diminish the supply. Think of Elijah when he was told to go to the brook Cherith. And there he went until the river began to dry up. And you know, the word did not come to Elijah about how God was going to provide the next meal for him. The ravens came to provide the meal, which is rather uncanny because ravens are birds that they eat themselves. They don't, well, no bird actually distributes in that way, but they are birds that look to themselves. And so the very fact that he used a raven to bring that food to Elijah was a miracle. But until the last drop of water was dried up from that brook, God did not say to him where you're going to find your next drink from. He was teaching Elijah a lesson to walk by faith and not by sight. What would we do if we were brought to that place? I'll tell you, I don't know if we would sit so peacefully and trusting in God. Maybe we'd become very anxious and worried and troubled and wonder, what is God doing? He's taking all our food away. We have nothing left. What he was doing with Elijah was saying, I will show you the next step in my time. But not before, not when you think, but when I think. And friends, I do not know this by experience. For I have never had to go a day without food. We have never starved for the things we have needed. God has so abundantly provided, but I see the principle here. And I only pray that the Lord would enable us to take hold of that principle, not just in the food factor, but in every area of our life that it must apply to. We are to walk before God in peace and truth and light without anxious thoughts, without worrying, because at the end of the day, we know that the worry does not help us, but it greatly hinders us. What has been brought on in your life or in mine by our worrying and our stressful thoughts and anxious attitudes? What has been brought on? Heartache, stomach problems, ulcers, stress marks on our bodies, all these factors. And the Lord says, these things are out of your control, and we must learn to trust Him and walk with Him in that way. He has promised He will supply all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I love what Paul said in Philippians 4, because there he said, I can do all things through Christ. And so, as the Lord says, don't take thought for yourselves. And Paul says, yes, I know what he means. I will take full comfort in the truth and thinking that Christ is my provider. He is my Savior. He is my King. I will go forth in His power. I will go forth resting in His strength for my everyday life. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Lord, hear our prayer this morning, we ask. Bring salvation to hearts that are needy outside of Christ. Lord, save, we are asking. Restore cold hearts. Build us up in our most holy faith. Teach us what it means to walk in faith and not in ourselves. Give us grace to overcome the plague of worry. We know, Lord, that it affects so many of us in different ways, and whether it's a health concern that someone has that is great, oh God, we pray, Thou would undertake and give that grace that goes beyond human understanding. Put Thy hand upon our sister Jenny today. We're thankful for her presence here with us. We just ask, oh God, to bless her in her own soul and be with her. So hear us now and separate us in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.